Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Darrymple, and welcome to this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, soaring airline prices, Manx food, and professional cycling. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by newshound Sam Turton.
Hello.
Jess Ward.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
How are we this week, team? Jess, good?
I'm back from the dead, pretty much. Because after a couple of weeks off...
that was really starting.
Right, now...
Usually you answer with, what have I done this week?
Yeah. No, I remember.
Big asterisk. You haven't had COVID-19.
I have not, no. Just to capitalise on that.
From the dead in a metaphorical sense.
Yeah. I mean, not literally.
So that'd you had weird. A virus that has
no connection whatsoever. Yeah.
But you're feeling all right now.
I'm feeling loads better.
Loads better.
Yeah, I've got my energy back, which is really good.
I thought that was just the, what was it?
The coffee. I did have a coffee as well, so I'm a bit buzzing.
I'll keep her going for a week on that.
Yeah.
Anything interesting happening this week apart from the obvious?
Well, I guess we're going to cover it, but EasyJet prices is a big one that I've been looking into.
Yeah, you've been screenshotting like a good one, haven't you?
So many screenshots. Oh my goodness. Yeah,
so we'll talk about that in a second. It's about, of course, the rising prices to EasyJet tickets after Flybe's unfortunate demise. Mm-hmm. Katie, good week?
It's been a very good week. Very busy.
Have you been away?
No, I haven't. I have been on the island.
How many days have you been on the island in a row now?
It's been about 2.5 weeks, yeah.
Well, that's pretty impressive. Yeah. I was wondering the other day, so you have to be resident on the island for a certain amount for your tax residency.
I qualify.
You sure?
Definitely, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sam, good week?
Yeah, it's been a busy week, isn't it?
It's always busy for you, mate.
I know.
It's
been something else this
You're
week.
Always on the anchor leg, aren't you? Sterling anchor. So what's caught your eye this week, apart from the news we're going to discuss, what we've already mentioned in this top of the episode, but there's some other bits that's it's breaking news, isn't it? So Sam Turton, insert Sam Turton sound effect.
Smashing glass.
Okay. Why smashing glass?
Because he's breaking through the glass ceiling.
What glass ceiling?
No, women.
Charlie from Charlie the Chocolate Factory.
More like yes. Them, right? Grace hears that. I do not want me on Charlie the Chocolate Factory as a picture for this podcast. It's not happening.
Do it. Last week's, I got a lot of comments about last week's.
Last week's was fantastic, and I went home and watched the TV programme.
What was the programme?
Come
from?
Fly with us. Of course. Yeah, Come Fly with me.
I watched it on Netflix too. Let's start with the MLC. That's most recently. So this afternoon, we had the MLC selection. I don't like election because they're selected, they're not elected.
Nice.
Because we don't have a say.
Okay.
We just pay their wages.
Okay.
So,
rant over.
Top of the poll was Kerry Sharp.
Yep. At the sharp end.
Yep. Yep. Who, every time I hear her name, the most annoying song in the world.
Do not do it.
I heard you two do it before, and I've been singing it for the last half.
Kerry Sharp, do 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 do. Kerry Sharp, do 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 do.
Yeah, okay.
So, she's in. Back in, as is Bill Henderson.
Hendo.
He's back in. New ones, Peter Greenhill, who...
Football referee.
Exactly. So
loves the yellow card.
The referee's a legislator.
Yep, there you go.
I can see them shouting that the weekend already.
I can see him dishing out the cards in Tynwald.
And Rob Mercer is the fourth one. He is also in. And he's an interesting one because he said in the pre-hustings he wants to make a publicly elected body. He'd support that. And he also said he wasn't too keen on taking departmental roles in the early stages of things. So
the former part of that, he's a turkey voting for Christmas almost, isn't
he's
he?
He's turkey nominating Christmas as a good idea and putting buntings out.
Well, we'll have to interesting to see how that... bunting?
Yeah.
Do you have bunting out at Christmas?
Probably don't, you know, Christmas lights. But I mentioned Christmas trees last week, so I was trying to avoid
tinsel?
That. Yeah, get the tinsel out.
Yeah, there you go. So there'll be more on that in the Courier.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, any more reaction next week? Did you get to speak to them afterwards?
No,
they saw you coming, didn't they? Your reputation precedes
you. Ushered away.
Ushered away from you.
From all of us. There was me, there was Dolan, there was Al Bell from BBC. And we ushered away.
That answers the question. So people have seen you and Dolan in the same place.
Yeah.
People think that you are the same man.
I did get congratulated on the birth of his child.
He is uber Manx, though, whereas you're sort of just like Vauxhall Conference Manx. You know, there's...
Let's go for the big breaking news. Was Hooded Ram have withdrawn their application for TT 2020.
For the 10 to the bottleneck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
It's breaking news. It's breaking news. Did you not hear the sound?
Smashing glass sound.
That sounded like...
Well, it's not a breaking glass.
That sounds like a breaking bust. Right.
So it's they've withdrawn it. Basically, they have had... Come out in court this morning, they're saying that they don't want to sort of be scaremongering that TT's not going to happen.
But
their insurance company... basically, the Hooded Ram's thing, it's not going to be Bushy. It's not going to be Heron and Brealey. It was going to be... every night there'd be a touring artist on.
Mm-hmm.
So of course they had Scouting for Girls, and they had, was it Fun Loving Criminals was the one they had?
Yeah, I think so.
So they had, you know, so the big band sort of thing, big names. That was their model. They wanted to do that again. And the problem is that when you're doing that, there's a lot of expense put down for that. So I think realistically, we know where we are. We've seen Ireland cancel and stuff with the Six Nations. I think they probably made the right call and said, let's not push ahead, because realistically you're risking your business if you do.
Fair comment.
You know, I mean, it's a shame really, because everything that happened of course within last year, which is well publicised, to then get to the stage this year where you've got, like, you know, the licence and court being blown away by how great their application was, to then have it taken away from them like this, it's sort of real kick in the teeth for them. But
so there's more on that in the Courier again.
There is, yeah,
which is available freely through your letterbox, but also as a digital edition, isn't it?
Yes, so you can always access it online at iomtoday.co.im and clicking on digital editions, so you can subscribe to The Examiner and The Independent, but The Courier is always there on a Friday morning for free.
What time does it go up?
About 8 in the morning.
8 in the morning.
That's when I usually see it. I don't tend to wake up before 8 a.m, so it could be there earlier. But...
You lucky duck.
Producer Emma only here by 8 a.m.
I know yous are.
Yeah. But, you know.
Well, I stroll in at 9:03, like I do every day.
Before we go any further, we can't not talk about coronavirus. Sam, we've had the daily update from the health services department.
I don't do positivity. You probably get better to go for Jess to this. I'll write yous all off. You know I'm like.
Okay, thanks for that positive update, Jess. Obviously, we've had the update today. 2:30 on the nose as always. We've had how many tests now?
We've had 29.
How many positive cases?
Absolutely zero.
Big fat zero. Still got the clean sheet intact, lads, as my managerial speak would say.
I have two very, 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 very funny things about coronavirus this week, which I never thought I'd get to say. But
okay, where are you going with this one?
Who got suspended from school in England?
Oh, for selling.
Yes. Oh, that is brilliant.
Hand sanitizer.
Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah.
So,
and even his mum couldn't punish him because his dad had praised him.
Called him a legend.
Did you see that? The mum was quoted saying that he was going to spend the £9 on getting a kebab.
Yeah. He'd bought a giant pack of Doritos and saving the rest for a kebab for later.
And that led to, this morning in licensing court, was referred to as the dad's army defence.
Right.
So we were going for, originally we had Corporal Jones, don't panic.
Yeah.
Then we had Joe, who's the spear, who's trying to sell all the, trying to sell bog roll to you down the station.
Yeah.
And then we were going for the Fraser. We're doomed.
So it's the three stages of coronavirus. Right.
The next stage will be socialising again, and you can have cake from my sister Dolly.
Yeah, that's the Godfrey method.
Yeah, the
that
Godfrey
is a
method.
Very deep reference there. Friends of Dad's Army. That's what
Katie is.
That's what the album artwork is this week, isn't it? Cover. It's going to be us as Dad's Army.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, let's move on to one of the stories we mentioned at the top of the episode, and it's about EasyJet, Jess, and the fact that their prices have quite literally skyrocketed in the last sort of 10
soaring.
Days.
Yeah, that's right. So actually, Adrian Derbyshire, who is our chief reporter, he was looking at the prices today, and he was saying from tomorrow till Friday, from Liverpool to the Isle of Man, a return flight was going to cost over £600. And you just think, what?
Yeah,
just blows your mind.
That's a lot of money. We could work out how much, many pounds per minute that is, because obviously the flight lasts
like 20 minutes,
isn't
it? Yeah. It's like as soon as it gets up, it's straight back down.
I reckon you get a Learjet for that. If you've got enough of you together, go and speak to the people at the jet centre and say, what can you get me to Liverpool for? I reckon it'd be less than £600 ahead.
Yeah. It's worth checking. But yeah, so a lot of people got in touch with us because they were saying, well, this is just outrageous. We had one guy saying it was a greedy exploitation of the coronavirus crisis.
But it's more to do with the fact that an airline crisis. And I've seen, actually, there was a story in one of the national media saying that someone was saying that Flybe's demise had been down to coronavirus. I think this is a company that was bailed out twice before.
Yeah, it was.
The writing's been on the wall for a while. Yeah. I think it's just...
It was just another factor, I guess. Yeah. It's the fear of travelling, I guess, because of this.
So have EasyJet cut flights from the Isle of Man?
Yeah.
Because of coronavirus?
Yeah. There's no longer a Liverpool flight.
It was more of a lack of... They weren't filling their flights on the
Tuesday. Said there was a drop in demand because they themselves blame coronavirus, which I think is becoming a good excuse.
Airlines are saying that they are being affected by it, and they're really quite concerned about their futures.
So did you speak to EasyJet?
Yeah, we did. So they got back in touch and they said it's all down to demand. They haven't artificially increased ticket prices. They say that the increase is because of it being closer to the departure date and more seats being sold has increased the ticket prices. This is just specifically for Liverpool and Isle of Man, but we've now reported in the Manx Independent that Loganair has started flights to Liverpool today, actually. Mm. And they're going to be doing twice daily to Liverpool, and it's going to be 7 days a week. And this is just like an interim kind of solution.
Yeah.
Was that the route that Flybe had that they've taken?
They've taken on some of that route, because I think Flybe were four times daily, if my memory says. I'm looking at our aviation expert there as he looks wildly into the distance. But Loganair, I think there's a couple of things about this that I'm sure you were going to come on to. It's primarily for the patient transfer route, isn't it? Because there's only 34 seats on these flights
in total.
So when you add in all the patient transfers, I don't know, obviously that varies per day, the rest of those tickets are then going on sale. And I believe they're about £200, something like that. I think.
It's still quite dear, I'd say.
And as you said, this is only almost a short-term measure.
Yeah, they're only kind of looking at the moment. And they're also in advanced talks of having links to Birmingham and Manchester, because obviously having Flybe collapse, we no longer have routes to those places.
I do have to applaud the brutality of Loganair's PR department, who sent us an email saying they were now Britain's largest regional carrier.
But facts are facts, Sam. Yeah. Facts are facts. You can't argue with that.
No, you can't.
There's more on that in the Examiner and the Manx Independent, which, of course, Katie, you can get online if you're self-isolating at imtoday.co.am/subscribe
or click on digital editions.
There you go. Right, Sam, next news story we're going to look at this week is about Manx March, which is about food and farming pages. It was on the food and farm page, and it's about encouraging people to eat just Manx products for a week, is it? Or over the whole month?
Well, yeah, it was a week was the idea. It was Stuart Mead who got locked in sheep. He's a farmer.
Right.
Up in Red May, is that right?
So he has 200 sheep. 100 sheep. He has 100 locked.
Right,
so anyway.
Good sheep maths.
Yeah. He started this idea. I was counting them, I fell asleep. I lost. Yeah. He had this idea that to get people to only use Manx produce for a week. So that's everything. So, you know, maybe not toilet roll, because that's a sensitive issue at the minute. But so all food for a week and drink, 16th to the 22nd of March. And that started as like a bit of a thing on Facebook. You know, like 2,000 people signed up to this.
Right.
Which is really cool. And it's an interesting one, because obviously people are starting to look a bit more local at the minute. We're all aware of what's going on around the world, and people are getting a bit new. And not just, you know, this is all with the looming backdrop of Brexit, which we've all just completely gone, that's that done with.
Yeah.
Mm. You know.
There's also to do with, like, I guess, climate issues too, you know, with food mileage and
carbon footprints.
Exactly. And, you know, knowing where your food's come from.
So you could probably, you definitely eat very well for a week if you just eat Manx stuff, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing. You know, there was people in the food and farm page who said about, like, how, you know, they can go and get veg from this farm, and you can get meat from this one, eggs from this one. And the only thing that struck me, and I was saying to Julie about this, is that if you just go to Tesco with the idea of just buying Manx produce, you will run up a hell of a bill.
You will. Mm. And also, you're going to Tesco's at the end of the day, like 6 o'clock when you finish work, that's probably because you can't get around to all these farms during the day because you are working, so you can't go direct to a farm shop to get your vegetables.
Are you still getting your meats in the car park?
I haven't had it for a while, but I could arrange another meat pickup from the van.
That's so Manx dodgy meat, sounding. Isn't it?
That's very good Manx meat.
That sounds like you're going to have someone killed.
What product would you miss most if you went Manx, completely Manx?
See, I would have said sausage rolls, but then I started getting the ones from over the road.
Yeah.
A&J Butchers.
Yeah, their belters.
Pasta, I think, you know. Because Manx tomatoes aren't in season.
Mm.
And I can't be bothered to make my own pasta.
Right. Katie?
This is really stupid, but Heinz tomato soup.
See, I was going to say tomato ketchup.
Because yeah, that's my go-to lunch food when I stay at work. Mm. I have my soup, and I'm very, very fussy about my soup brands.
Right. Have you tried making your own soup? Maybe like pea soup? Pea and ham soup?
I don't mind making a soup, like a nice vegetable soup or like get a lot of spices in there. But if I'm going tomato soup, has to be Heinz.
Yeah, I'm actually with you on the sauce though, Heinz ketchup.
Is the dessert area lacking in the Manx food?
We don't make Percy Pigs.
They do. There's lots of nice cakes, isn't there, Manx
cakes?
Well,
yeah, you could do cake, you could do Bonnock. World Bonnock Championship is... Friday, right. Friday the 13th, World Bonnock Championship. Get your inspiration from that.
There you go.
So
we've answered my own query then.
But you know how lots of people have been going and buying lots of pasta? Because I am following this hashtag Manx March, and there was a recent post.
There's a hashtag?
Yeah, it's a hashtag, wow, yeah.
Mind blown.
Yeah, you have it on Instagram and... have it on Instagram and Facebook. But somebody posted up, clearly... like all the pasta's gone from Tesco shelves and whatever, but actually you can make it quite simply by using Manx flour from Laxey Mill and just like a few eggs, and then you just knead it and then flatten out really flat and cut up strips, and that's it.
And it's a billion times better than buying it from a shop.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see if Manx producers have had to up their production for this month, because how many people did you say 2,000 people suddenly get their Manx on and start shopping?
It's been quite a good resource actually, because I noticed that the butcher in Kirkmichael, I think his name is Liam Mears, he's posted on it too, so actually they're getting quite a lot of attention from it, so it's been good for them.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, because you've got like the way they've done it, isn't it, where you've got like local producers have got involved in it, so they're using it obviously as a way to sell their stuff. But I mean, you got like the see the farmers market. So you got that on Saturday in Ramsey every week.
Courthouse.
You know, and you got like Round Yards, but Ramsey's like the weekly one that, off the top of my head, can think of.
You also Bri Rad, also in Ramsey, and he has his he sells a lot of vegetables on Saturday.
Well, it sounds like you've got tea planned for the next month or so.
Yeah.
I reckon I could do it.
You could do it.
I think it's tomato, because I eat a lot of like, you know, chilies and.
No, you'd be fine, because all you need to do is just make, like, Irish stew.
Yeah, I could actually. I'd be fine with that. But the thing is, I quite like chilli, I like bolognese, and I like lasagna. I can make everything from that Manx stuff besides pasta and rice, because I couldn't be bothered to make pasta and can't make rice by next week.
But you can get Manx quinoa.
Which is much better than buying it from Bolivia, because it means the Bolivian people don't have quinoa.
Sorry?
Oh, yeah, you're taking the food away.
When I was in Bolivia, I got ranted at a lot by Bolivian people about the quinoa.
So are we taking it paper from the people in Glen May?
No, that's what I'm saying, buy the Manx quinoa.
Yeah, but I don't want the, like Patrick people
to be... I don't think they've survived for generations and generations and generations solely on quinoa.
It's a bit of a strange spot.
I was just thinking with your pasta, you know how lots of people have pesto pasta? You could have like wild garlic pasta. Do you think that would work?
Well, to be honest with you, I was just going to use pasta because... I can't get a Manx substitute that I can be bothered to make.
He looks very disheveled, don't you?
I'm doing my best. I'm living in the real world. I don't have time to make my own pasta. I'm working 10 hours a day.
You went to the pub quiz last night?
I was still working at 7:30 last night, and then I went to the pub. And then I had my heart broken by a Spaniard.
Or 11, wow. Or 14, or
whatever. Oh, right, okay.
Well, why are you Slovenian, wasn't he, actually, the goalkeeper?
Hashtag
football. Go sport. Talking of sports, last week I think we touched on the fact of the new Isle of Man Sports Club, which is this new organisation which is trying to push the best of Manx team sport and take it across. FC Isle of Man, which we have discussed in the past, Sam's a massive fan of that, as we all know. They're going to try and take part in the English non-league system. Well, they've got a new sport, they've got a new a couple of teams in the fold. And this week, the Cycle Club Isle of Man were launched, which was with the aim of putting a men's and women's teams into UK and possibly further afield competition next year. So that's quite exciting.
Yeah, it's really good.
Andrew Roach and Johnny Epifani, well known within cycling circles and maybe further afield in the Isle of Man, are two of the people behind it. They're very optimistic about it. They've said that, you know, it's particularly about getting a women's team because they say at this point, a lot of cyclists, we have a lot of cycling talent, as we've discussed before. Dot Tilbury does a great job down the NSC. They get to a certain age and they have to move off Ireland if they want to progress their career. Hopefully, this will keep them here.
There's so much talent here in the Isle of Man. Like, cycling is such a huge thing.
It is the shizzles over here. So, they hopefully keep them here and then they can and compete across and fulfil their dreams.
Definitely. Yeah. And then you've got, obviously, like, you can be inspired by people like Mark Cavendish,
because
they give quite a lot of lessons, don't they, here?
If you turn up down the NSC in his home, he'll go out for a ride with you. Well, I don't think I'd keep up with him. I can't even ride a bike. I'd be running behind him like, just trying
not
to...
Not even on an electric bike.
Yeah. But the other story, actually, one of the people that is forging a career currently out cycling is a guy called Sam Brand. We've talked about him in the past. He's quite he used to play football for Peel and St John's, but now he's a professional cyclist. He's done triathlon as well in the past. He's 29, from Peel, or is it Michael? Or from the West. I'll just broaden it, West.
He's
quite interesting because he's a type 1 diabetic, but he rides for their team, Noro something or other. Their team are diabetic. And that's the promote that, you know,
like ambassadors really
for
the
diabetes. But his season is currently ground to a halt because of coronavirus. Mm. A lot of events in Europe have been called off. Sam mentioned the rugby and stuff being called off in Ireland. All the cycling events, which just the cycling season is just beginning to sort of roll into action, pardon the pun, at the moment. But they've all been cut down in their prime in Europe, with them all being cancelled. There's a couple events going on in France this week, but Sam wasn't on the start list for this. So there's a great interview Dave did with him about how he's just sort of sat waiting at the moment to see what happens.
Feet.
Yeah, but he's out on his bike. That might be athlete's foot rather than. But yeah, there's a full interview of that on the back page of this week's Manx Independent, which is thoroughly worth a read.
Could we use Sport and Club Isle of Man to launch a kabaddi team?
Yes.
So, realist, kabaddi. Kabaddi is the greatest sport.
Katie thought ever. Oops, sorry.
Go on YouTube, put in kabaddi, greatest sport.
What are they, BADI?
Yeah.
Not kabaddi. Not like a kebab eating contest. No.
It's kabaddi.
It's mental,
kabaddi.
Isn't it?
It's like British bulldog.
Pakistan and India. Yeah,
it's weird. It's like, but they say it while doing it. It's like kicking a ball and going football while playing. They go kabaddi.
Netball.
Yeah, it's great.
Did it count? Did they what? Kabaddi, kabaddi, kabaddi.
While playing, they go kabaddi, 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 kabaddi.
You're making this.
I love this already.
Watch on YouTube. It's great. I was watching QI. There's a guy on there talking about it, so I went on YouTube and watched it. It's the greatest sport I've ever seen.
Do you remember, I don't know, you might be before your time, but there was a programme that used to be on Channel 4 on the very early hours of a Sunday and Saturday morning called Trans World Sport. No, getting blank faces for everyone else around the microphone. But this was like, it was like an insight to various different sports around the world. And the baddie always on it. And it's like a proper event, isn't it? They've got really bright kits and they, as you say, knock the seven stages of out of each other with trying to get this ball from one end to the other, don't they?
Yeah, it's surprisingly violent.
Yeah.
It looks quite like a fun game, and then they just are knocking it out of each other. So.
Maybe ask Jeeves about it when you get home.
Ask Jeeves.
Or Lycos. I'm determined to be like, we use Google a lot. Let's try and share it out.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Bing.
I don't like Bing.
No, the setup is just ugly.
But let's try and get some other... Well, the search
There's
engine's
a search
going.
Engine where every search you make, I don't know if they plant a tree or something like that. But
what?
Yeah.
That's crazy. The amount of things I search in like an hour.
We should definitely get that.
Yeah, I have to try and find out what it's called
next week. Now we go back to a time with before Lycos and before Ask Jeeves to 1935. I think Ask Jeeves might have still been an actual thing then. You asked your butler what was happening. So the front page of the Isle of Man Examiner of Friday, March 15th. And it's, it's a very busy front page, Sam.
It is. It is indeed. Where do we go from? Do you know what? I think I'm going to avoid the main story on it because I'm not actually interested. To be honest with you, I don't care if 1935 King William's College looked like it wasn't going to survive. Because, spoiler alert. Right?
So, it's definitely a Netflix series, isn't it?
Yeah. So let's go for this one, I think. Behind the scenes of the Ireland film.
Oh, yes, I enjoyed this one.
So this is a weird one, right? Because this is all about the film No Limit. Yeah. Classic TT film.
I would say probably the most famous film out of the Owlman. Would you agree?
Probably,
more
yeah.
so than Waking Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, well, bear in mind,
I've
everyone thought Waking Dead was Island.
I'm so sorry.
You've never... Oh, it's one of the best black and white films ever made.
Mm-hmm. Fact.
And it was... So it's a George Formby film.
Yeah.
And he is a guy who builds the Shuttleworth Snap.
A lovable fool.
Mm. He plays the ukulele.
Yes.
He did get typecast.
He was riding in the TT, riding the TT
okay,
races.
Yeah, I've... Okay.
And you have seen it.
I haven't seen it, no. But I know... Like, obviously we've got that
Kerry
statue.
Kerry shop, do-do-do-do-do-do. Kerry, it's got a catchy song like that. Yeah.
So, anyway. So they have a... So the tentative title of the film was called Take Me to the Isle of Man. But this is while they were on... So they were on, like, location shoots.
Scouting,
wasn't it? Scouting, yeah. They were trying to go around the island and find location to film the TT on. Interesting that they had to go around the island to find somewhere to film the TT course, but they went for it. But what I like is the fact that he is referred to as George Formby, son of a famous father, which I didn't know until I looked this up, that George Formby is not his real name. George Formby took his name from his dad, who was George Formby Sr., who was a famous actor in his own right.
Really?
So, yeah, George Formby Jr.
Runs in the
family.
Yeah. So I think that's my favourite story off the front.
That is very good. Very good. And because the writer apparently was quite a big deal as well, this Walter Greenwood, because he's on the front page picture, isn't he?
Mm.
On the far left, and he's sort of talking about, he wrote Love on the Dole. I've not heard of that, but apparently it was quite a big deal in 1935.
I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it. But it's a film I'm aware of. I think it's like a pointless answer that I've remembered.
I'm guessing you also, knowing the mischievous side of you, Sam, you picked this front page because of the story about Douglas to Urgic North Promenade Extension.
Well, you know...
There's that bus again, stopping.
I might have done.
You might have done, or...
I did.
Yeah. So what was that about then?
So this is essentially... if you think where Derby Castle area is,
yeah,
so Summerland site,
my
there,
third favourite castle in the
that was never there. That was just the actual MER track that was running up. They reclaimed the land and built the prom that's there now was a lot bigger than it ever was.
Okay,
so they built it was 95 feet, I think, because I see they took back 95 feet they took back of their land. So this is like one of the later stages of all that scheme to build up that area of the prom.
So you know what I'm going to ask you next? How long and how much?
Well, let's see if we can find out.
I realise if anyone's just heard, tune into that. That's a very loaded question.
Well, 3 years and £100,000 later,
cheaper half the price, isn't it?
No, actually, I my favourite one was the No Luxury Flats of Douglas Workman's one. I thought you were going to talk to me about, which was the idea to build flats on the North Quay in Douglas.
Well, I didn't want to make it Douglas-centric, to be honest, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but what's interesting is that some of this stuff, of course, the flats that they're talking about was some of the Lord Street flats.
And were they seen
which
as
is suit,
poosh?
They're going to be on the way to be being pulled down at some point.
Mm, yeah,
that was the area they were building.
Jess, now, what I thought was quite interesting, which I don't think we've come across in our jaunt down memory lane, is the contents. Have you seen that little contents panel on just above the advert on the right? And it's some of the... It's that,
oh, right, yeah, sorry.
And obviously, we still carry some things.
Yeah.
So we've got the
leaders. Properties and times past.
But some of the other things that they were flagging up. I love the fact the football is on the same page as the cinema listings.
Oh, that's great.
What else is on there?
Wheelbarrow case. I don't know what that's about, but that sounds
I'm
really
very
interesting.
Interesting in that, yeah.
table talk, share market.
Table talk? Do we think that was a column about tables?
Maybe.
I wouldn't put it past the different types of furniture.
Now we're looking at this six-seater that has been found in Peel.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
That would be amazing.
It's made of mahogany.
That's on page 14, it was the page to be on, because that's got the cinema and the football and table talk.
What's all happening there, isn't it?
Auctions, page 15. What else? Buy their deeds. Is that the will? Will?
Well, possibly, yeah, because above that you've got Spinster's will.
Yeah, you were talking about that. It's weird, isn't it?
Which is where they're announcing it missed... Miss Maria Davies, who died in Liverpool, had left just over £1,000 to earn in money in the Isle of Man. I think we should bring this back. I really do. It'd be very funny.
Well, GDPR would just be like,
yeah,
red alert.
Your will's a public record. I don't know if people actually know that. That's the whole point of you actually have to have a will because it's a public record of things. Property or something like that.
Yeah. Casey, before we move on to your yes or training, what were the adverts that caught your eye?
Well, I've been looking at these and thinking, huh, it is March. Because in the, in the top left and the top right corner, they're both adverts for fish. And I'm thinking, obviously, coming up to Easter, very traditional to eat your fish.
Mm. Yes, good.
So that's
thinking.
I'm looking at my advertising trends.
I just love how one of them is just a circle and inside it says the fish centre. And yes. Then that's it, that's all you get.
Yeah, it is. And on the other one it says, to people residing in the south, we are right at your door with fresh fish daily.
Who was that?
F. Shipside.
Let's give him a shout out.
Fishmonger and poulterer.
I like the advert in the bottom left. As we look at the page of about the car,
yeah,
that now comes with a radio.
Oh yeah,
I love that it begins with "No, we haven't taken leave of our senses."
He's having an absolute raven there.
So that was W.H. Shimon and Co. Automobile Engineers. We're now stocking cars with radios in. Now to think, now what we are in 2020 and people streaming podcasts, hopefully in their car.
Yes.
It always scares me when I'm driving here. Sam doing one of his famed sound effects.
Like smashing glass.
Like smashing glass.
And bus noises.
That'd be the one that'll keep you up. Keeps you awake on the motorway is how I like to think of this podcast.
Or sends you to sleep. What was the other advert? Now, a week doesn't go by when we don't have an advert for a coat.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know where this one was heading. When
no,
I
agree with you, actually. So go on, read
it. I'd like Sam to read it in his advertising voice.
The Sun says, quick march.
Get out! March.
The simple things.
Get out of doors and greet the sun. In a coat, what?
Greet
reading. Get out of doors and greet the superb ranges of coats, suits, millinery, which have been specially designed to welcome the sunshine of spring. Fashion-wise, spring is in its most entrancing mood. Now, at Lions, the fashion centre, Strand Street, Douglas.
Now, two questions. Millinery.
Yeah, what is that?
I think we've had this issue before and none of us have actually asked Jeeves about it.
No. Well, that's what I'm doing when I go. I'm asking Jeeves about millinery.
Still a bit vague about millinery.
The other question is, does anyone else, when they talk about letting the sun shine in, have a vision of someone opening the coat a la a flasher?
Yeah.
I think, like, honestly, this is sort of an advert for Flashes and Flashes Max.
Yeah, it's a bit dodgy.
So do you reckon it's like one of the personals ads where it was all like innuendo?
Well, I think if we go to the March 22nd Isle of Man Examiner front page in 1935, there'll be lots of court cases of people being caught flashing their, you know, business
in superb
areas.
Coats.
Yeah, in superb coats,
flashing their standard 12 radio.
Before we move on, I thought it was quite interesting to see the annual subscription price there, Katie, on the top of the Isle of Man Examiner. Obviously, it was. Again, was an offer. It was cheaper than what you'd pay per week.
Is that 7 shillings?
Yeah, and it's 3.5p a week. But if you bought it in Liverpool, it was more expensive.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
We round off this week's podcast with Katie and her yes or training, which is the feature that covers everything about Manx.
Yeah,
culture
it could be
and
language or people or places or facts. Or
so last week we looked back at the history of the courthouse.
Yeah, so we looked at the old courthouse and why and where that started and what it is now and what happened in it. But I thought I'll pick something cheery this week.
Yep.
And then I went the complete opposite way. I'm sorry, this is quite a sad one again.
You sound a lot like my wife when we're looking for new Netflix series to binge watch. And it usually ends up with either a serial killer, someone that killed someone that's been abused, or and then how they get their vengeance 23 years later.
I'd be really worried.
I ought to tell you, I mentioned this last night, and she was like, no, don't be worried. It's because she listens to a lot.
Does she do it just before she goes to bed as well?
Yeah.
It gives me the nightmares.
Yeah. Terrible nightmares. But yeah, so go and tell us about Margaret Quain then.
Okay, so we're going back to 1617.
Oh.
And this is
when Watty was a lad.
Him and John Madger were out playing in the fields together.
So this is actually the Isle of Man's only ever official execution for witchcraft.
Oof.
So Margaret Quain was sentenced to burn at the stake after she confessed to using a ritual, which outed her as being what they classed as a witch, which was specifically to improve her crops. So as punishment for being a witch in 1617, She was burnt alive in Market Square in Castletown. Yeah. And this is where it takes an even horribler, darker turn. Along with her infant son, as they said he had witch's blood running through his veins.
Oh, that's disgusting.
However, this death was so horrific and horrible for the people of the South.
They stopped it, didn't
and
they?
And they... Yes, so this was so bad that they were like, we can't ever do that again. And so that is the only ever witchcraft murder, like, witchcraft execution on the island. Now, if you are going about to say about the hill...
Swelling.
Yes.
Yeah, witch
yes.
hill.
So,
the barrels.
Yes.
So after that, apparently, the witches that were later sentenced, they weren't executed. They were given punishments such as going to every church on the island to seek penance, which there were a lot more churches back then as well.
Made a sporting event out of it after a few years.
Or £3 fines, or having to stand in Market Square with signs saying that you were a like, convicted witch.
Would people
like a sandwich board?
Would people throw like
yes, like a sandwich board?
Like, would people throw turnips?
Yeah,
what were we talking about yesterday? They have a shame bell. Yeah. I'm a witch, ding-a-ling. I'm a witch.
Not a witch, but they would. So when people talk about the Slewellyn Hill,
Slewellyn.
I'm sorry,
It's not just me, guys. Oh, yes,
but they. There's actually no evidence that any of them were who actually were pushed down were. There for witchcraft purposes. However, a lot of murderers. There's nothing arguing against murderers being in barrels with spikes.
Sam, you look like you have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I do. First off, I think there's a plaque to this execution.
There is a plaque in Castletown. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Second of all, why didn't the Manx hang people? Why were they putting them in barrels and pushing them down a hill?
Because they... good question.
Do they just like to see people suffer?
It would be the opposite. You wouldn't get to enjoy any of it. You'd only see them at the top and see them at the bottom.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. It was quite a dark time. They quite liked seeing executions back then, didn't
Cheddar have made the sport out of it. Chased a bloody cheddar roll down it.
They just wanted pain to kind of linger, do you reckon? Because like hanging would
this
be...
This very pretty... gone very dark.
Yeah, sorry guys.
I was going to end it on a slightly brighter bit
of
the story with
that. Let's hasten to that part.
It was actually... The story of Margaret Quain was actually adapted into a Manx language film in 2013 called Solace, which was used at a lot of film festivals and Celtic film festivals, because when they made the film, they decided like no one would have been speaking English to each other then, so we'll only get either actors who speak Manx or who are willing to learn whole chunks of the language to be in the film. And so that was filmed over here around various places on the island.
What was that called? Sorry.
Solace. Yep.
Is it available on Sam's favourite streaming platforms? Is it on the YouTubes?
I don't know where we can watch it. I'll find that out actually.
If we can find it, maybe Grace could put a link on our socials.
Yeah.
Because
I think that sounds very interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right, Katie, an insightful 5 minutes
gonna
as always.
Pick a happier one next week.
I don't know. I think, you know, those podcasts are about serial
true
killers.
Crime.
They flip and do well.
It's me all day at my desk.
Plotting true crime. Yeah. Sam, you alright then?
That was my original one.
But I thought I can't have so much darkness.
You've already reached that point, so just go for it.
Fun fact for you. If you were hanged, drawn and quartered on the Isle of Man, the body parts were displayed in Castletown, Peel, Ramsey and Douglas.
Oh wow.
Which way round?
Next week, I'll tell you where they were displayed in Castletown.
Oh gosh.
Just keep it light. Yeah. Right, that's about it for this week. Before we go, Jess, what's coming up?
Yeah, so actually, tonight I'm going to be following police cadets around. Because
do they know that? Or is this part of their training?
Stranger danger.
Because I'm going to be taking part in a police exercise. I can't say too much.
Oh, of course. You don't want to tip them the wink, do you?
You'll have to wait until the examiner to find out what that is.
Are you taking a photographer with you?
I will.
They may be less conspicuous.
I will be taking my own photos.
Oh. Have you got a newspaper of eye holes coming?
Have you played the Nintendo game Spy vs. Spy?
No. I'm not prepped, guys.
Did you ever play James Pond?
Yes.
What a game.
Mega Drive. Absolutely brilliant. Katie, what's coming up this week in the world of subscriptions and sales?
There's always a lot coming up. There's quite a lot of supplements coming up in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, it is.
So
shocker.
Work being done towards them. And there's also a competition on our Facebook page. Not the podcast one. The Isle of Man newspaper's Facebook page.
What's the comp?
There's quite a few competitions coming up as well. This one is for Little Tree Soaps.
Oh, very topical.
They're really good.
I they're, brilliant. They're brilliant. Yeah.
What are they called?
The bath bombs. Yeah, I get the bath
and
bombs.
And they smell incredible.
They're so good.
Are they Manx?
They are Manx. They're from Peel, I believe. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, lovely stuff.
But yeah, if you go over to the Facebook page, you can see how to enter that.
IOM Newspapers on Facebook.
Yeah.
Sam, what's going up?
Oh, absolute heaps.
Heaps. You use a different adjective. Use a different adjective every week, and I enjoy
that's
it.
That's easy for you to say.
It is easy for me to say.
There's loads of stuff. I mean, there's planning, of course. There's some brilliant planning stories this week. PLFC, we got Ramsey, a pub's getting knocked down. We got loads of stuff. Housing developments, tons of stuff.
Where are they going to be revealed?
In the Examiner.
In the Examiner.
And then there's stuff about Douglas Council in the Examiner. And we're hopefully going to speak to our new MLCs and find out why they deserve our money. And there's going to be loads and loads of stuff.
So bitter.
Loads and loads.
Direct. You can tell he watches a lot of Andrew Neil.
I throws the shade round left, right.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Right, if you want to get in touch with us throughout the week, maybe you're a witch that needs burning, please do at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and, of course, on Twitter. We haven't had any postcards for a while. Is this because producer Emma's intercepting and burning them because they've got the COVIDs? Or...
Yeah. We might not have any for a while with the travel restrictions and things coming up.
What about yours that you brought back?
They're still sat in my kitchen at home.
Well, that's
I'll bring them in.
I'm off next week on Tuesday and Wednesday. I was going to go to Ramsey's. Do you reckon I should send one?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
If, like Sam, you've been inspired to send a postcard, please do to IOM News Podcast, Isle of Man Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas, IM1, 5ED. And as we've said multiple times throughout this episode, please do look at our digital editions, which are, of course, available on our website, omtoday.co.im, by clicking on the digital editions tab.
Because you've got a clipboard.
It is because I've got a clipboard. Oh, well deduced, Jess. You're going to get on like a house on fire with these kids tonight, aren't you? Right, until next week.
Bye for now.